الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وذروا ظاهر الإسم وباطنه سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم وذروا ظاهر الإسم وباطنه. This is an ayah of the Quran. Now it's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That's what the Quran is, the word of Allah, the one who created us, the one who sustains us, the one who provides for us, the one without whom we would have nothing and not even exist. And this is actually a commandment of that creator of the universe. وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِسْمِ وَبَاطِنَ That leave the inward and the outward of sin. Now the whole discussion of sin and the whole discussion of leaving sin and avoiding sin and the effects of sin, obviously we could go on for years just discussing this topic. But there's two things that I wanted to highlight this morning that are very, very important about sin. And by sin we mean, so there's so many levels of sin obviously. There's the major sins, there's the minor sins. But obviously our goal is to eliminate every sin from our life. We don't look at it as major and minor. We look at it as detrimental to our progress, no matter what it is. So the first is that the first principle is actually highlighted in a very, very beautiful poem. And this poem says that, and I'm just translating it, that I saw a man on the seashore, and probably some of you might have read this before. I saw a man on the seashore laying wounded by a tiger, saying, Alhamdulillah, alas, I have not fallen into sin. I saw a man on the seashore laying wounded by a tiger, saying, Alhamdulillah, alas, I have not fallen into sin. This poem, in such a beautiful way, in four lines, highlights such an important idea about sin. And that is that death is better than sin. It should be in our mind and our heart that we would rather die. And it would be better to die than to fall into one of the sins that would draw you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's exactly what this person is saying. He's saying that I saw a man on the seashore. He saw a man wounded by a tiger on the seashore, meaning a tiger had come and attacked a particular man. He was laying there dying. The man was dying after being attacked by the animal. And what's his response? Alhamdulillah. Thank God. Thank Allah. And I'm dying in this way, and at least I have not fallen into sin. This is the reason why we should thank Allah. This is the reason why this man is thanking Allah, that at least I didn't fall into sin. It would have been a worse death for my heart to fall into sin than this physical death of this tiger coming and attacking me. So we have to, I mean, within this poem there are just so many beautiful lessons. One is just thanking Allah at all times. I mean, we're the servants of Allah. If He decides to put us in the world, then we come in the world. If He decides to take us from the world, then we leave the world. Who cares? What difference does it make? What difference does this life make? It makes nothing. This life is just a stop. You started somewhere else, and you're going somewhere else. This is just a stop. If Allah decides to take you out early, take you out late, it makes no difference to us. That's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created us. But the the only way you can lose in this game, at this stop, at this bus stop that we're in, the only way you can lose is if you fall into sin. It doesn't matter if you die, it doesn't matter when you die, it doesn't matter what else happens to you, but if you fall into sin and disconnect yourself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you've made the next stop a very, very difficult place, namely the Day of Judgment and the grave. So we have to begin to realize, and we have to begin to treat every sin like it's worse than death. So just as you would do things to avoid death, if you get a little bit sick, you go straight to the doctor. And if there's any risk to your life or property or any risk to your well-being, you avoid it at all costs. In the same way, we have to avoid the situations and avoid those things which at even place a minimal risk of us falling into sin. We should avoid it like death. That's exactly basically how you should look at it. That we should avoid every single sin like death. Because it is death. It's death of the heart. If you have a dead heart and you're walking around the earth, what good is it? It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't benefit anyone. It doesn't benefit you, and it won't benefit you in the hereafter. So the point is that we have to begin to treat sin like it's death. That's the first point that I wanted to highlight. The second thing to keep in mind is that you have to realize that there is no way that you can stand up against sin. It's impossible to stand up against any particular sin. And what do I mean by standing up? Meaning, if you put yourself in the environment of a particular sin, and you think, I'll survive, I'm firm, I'll stand strong, there's no way. There's no way. It's equivalent to a man standing in a road and saying that the truck is not going to run me over. There's no way. You are the one that's going to get flattened if you put yourself in the environment of sin, and you will not be able to avoid it. It's impossible. Maybe you'll avoid it once. Maybe you'll avoid it twice. But the third time, that truck is going to flatten you. And that's exactly what sin is. It comes and it flattens you like a truck. So if you think that, well, I'm strong enough in my iman that I can go out into the mall and I'm not going to look at the things I shouldn't look at, and maybe the first time you won't look, maybe the second time you won't look, but the third time somebody will walk by dressed improperly and your eyes will hit that object. And you will not be able to avoid it. You will not be able to avoid it because it's like a truck running you over. It's just a physical way that sin has been created. So when you put yourself in the environment of sin or of a potential to act upon something that you shouldn't be doing, eventually it will get you and it will destroy you. And there is no way. I have never seen anybody avoid it. I mean, it's just human nature. You will not be able to avoid it. So that's why our ulama place a huge emphasis. You never hear them talking about sin very much. They'll say you should avoid A, you should avoid B, you should avoid C. But the greater emphasis is avoiding the environment and the situations where those particular sins exist. Take, for example, looking at things that you shouldn't look at. So, especially in this environment where women, they tend to dress in a very, very unfortunate manner. If you put yourself in that environment, you're not going to survive. And so your job is to not go there and say, let me see if I can survive today, and put yourself into that environment and say, now let's test my abilities. That's not your job. Your job is to avoid the environment to protect yourself from that environment at all costs. So for example, you have to go out to, first of all, you should try to avoid going into that environment altogether. So if you know that there's a place, for example, where people tend to gather who dress in a particular way, and you know that you're going to get run over by that truck, then you should avoid that place completely. For example, if you have to go to the store, okay, it's a summer day, people are going to come dressed the way they want to come dressed. Don't go to the store in the middle of the day when it's maximally full and you're going to have to wait in line, when you're going to have to walk around the store and there's going to be crowds. Go there at 6 in the morning. Go there at 4 in the morning. It's a 24-hour store. Go there before Fajr. If you go in the store before Fajr, there's no one there. Now look, if you go to the store at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you're in the grocery store. First thing is you're going to end up seeing something that you're not supposed to see. The second thing is you're going to get in line. And while you're in line, they've lined the whole checkout with magazines, right, which are purposely created with pictures on the cover to draw your attention and to look at the things which are not proper to look at. So you're standing in line for half an hour. I mean, how long are you going to stand and avoid looking at those particular images for half an hour? It's very, very difficult. And you may survive once, you may survive twice. The third time you're going to fall. Whereas if you went to the store at 6 in the morning or 4 in the morning, did what you needed to do in the store, there's no one there, first of all. And second of all, you get through the checkout right away, so you don't have to stand and try to stand up against that sin. And then you get out and you get your deeds done, you've bought what you need to buy from the store, and you move on. So we have to be very, very careful about the environment that we place ourselves in. Because these sins are worse than death. And people always say, well, I'm doing my zikr, I'm coming to the masjid, and I'm not improving. The reason is because you have the anchor of sin holding your ship down. That's the whole reason why people don't improve. They don't feel improvement. And fine, somebody who comes to the masjid regularly, somebody who's begin to devote themselves to knowledge, learning, self-improvement, fine. They may have 99% or 98% of the things that they used to do, they may have eliminated. But there are 100 anchors that tie down every ship, and you have to remove 100% of them. And if you remove 98 anchors, you still have two that hold you down. You're not going anywhere. You are not going to go anywhere. The ship is not going to move. You have to pick up all of the individual anchors and remove them, and then, inshallah, the ship will begin to move. So you have the ship, and you have the fuel in the ship. The only problem is that you have your anchors still down. And that's just the case with all of us, because we live in such a difficult environment. And the way to avoid, the way to remove these anchors is not to stand up and think you can handle it. But the real way is to avoid the environment completely, because that's the only way you'll be able to avoid these sins. There's a very famous sheikh who once said that, you know, he made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, I can't avoid looking at the things that I shouldn't look at. But if you give me the help to avoid looking at those things, then inshallah I'll be able to succeed. And he says that for years and years and years, I personally was trying to avoid not looking at the things that I should look at. And all of a sudden, after one day, he realized that he doesn't have that ability or that strength. So he made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tears that, oh Allah, I don't have the ability to avoid this particular sin, this detriment to my relationship with you. But oh Allah, if you give me the tawfiq to avoid it, then I can avoid it. And he says that after, from that day on, a woman and a wall were equivalent to him. Meaning he wasn't attracted towards looking at them at all. And that was because of this dua that he made, in the sense that he realized that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who controls everything. So that's the third principle. The third principle is that your job is two. Number one, to realize that sin is worse than death. And number two, to avoid the environment of sins. And then the third job is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is that He has to give you the tawfiq to make it so you just don't even care about those things. So you have two jobs and Allah takes care of the rest. But you have to be sincere. You have to be sincere. Allah knows when you walk down, you know, when you walk, if you see someone from far away who may be dressed in a particular way and you continue to walk in their direction in order to look, Allah knows. Allah knows. You can't hide it from Allah. If you go into the grocery store and you're looking left and right at the magazines in the checkout aisle, you're not worried about Allah, but you're looking who else might be in the other lines, who else is behind you in the checkout aisle to make sure it's nobody else from the masjid. Allah knows. Allah knows everything. Allah does this. You cannot hide it from Allah. You know, if you think, you're at home and you have a TV and you leave that TV in your house and you say, oh, I can't help it. I can't stop watching TV. Allah knows. You're the one who didn't remove the TV from your house. You haven't made the effort to get rid of that TV. So every single thing that you see on that TV screen that you shouldn't be looking at, the commercials all day that attract you to the worldliness and the materialisticness of this society and world, and the women who come on cover in order to attract your eyes so that you buy the products that they advertise, and the fake lives that the people on TV live, you know, that the people have created to be a reality in order to take you away from your world and put you in theirs for half an hour. That's all that TV is. The news of the world in which you can watch the death and dying and the suffering of the rest while you continue to eat and drink as you please. What else do you do with your TV? So when you create these environments for yourself, and Allah knows, this is the problem. These first two points are the problem. That you have to realize that sin is worse than death, and you have to realize that you have to avoid the environment of sin. Once you take care of these two things, then you watch. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of the rest. But, I mean, there's no help if you don't help yourself. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy, He may open up doors. That's Allah's mercy. But there are certain rules and regulations that exist. And there are certain methodologies and means that Allah has established. And so our responsibility is to eliminate these things from our environment. So inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to eliminate for us to desire death rather than sin, and to avoid the environments where these sins can be fostered and be nourished. Wa akhira da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.